rescue group said they were looking at ways of generating some type of revenue. So maybe to see if they were interested.
I don't know how detailed the contract was, if there is a contract. But that's what I say, we want to make sure there's consistency, that it is cleaned up on time, because that's the transfer station attendant's concern, that especially with bad weather counts. If any of that gets wet, very hard to move then. And just for space alone, if it gets filled up, it spills out onto the outside. And so I don't know whether there should be some kind of a more detailed contract.
Yes, yeah, so like, what if the contract said in there that by a certain, date, right? Like you, if you didn't get it done, the other group would come in and they would get to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're supposed to collect the stuff every week. Well, if by that, say, Sunday you hadn't collected the stuff, the next group on the list, right, would get that stuff, and then maybe rotate different groups if there's a lot of them.
I think there was some type of policy that was in place previously, especially to address that it was done punctually and efficiently. So there was something in place previously, and I think it was, I don't know if this worked out good or not, but they would submit the receipts, and then somehow I think that the total was divided between the two groups. So it didn't matter if one went the one week and there was really nothing, and then the next week the other group went and they got the mother load. So then they both sort of shared equally.
Maybe that's what I heard, that was a complaint, that somebody was doing all the work.
Yeah,
and only
that would sound like
them.
It.
Right. So yeah, maybe so that probably didn't work out, so...
So how would it work with staff? Like, what staff are you was thinking? Are you thinking like the transfer station attendant or the roads, or what was that even mentioned? Like when you're saying staff?
Yeah, public works department.
Public works.
Yeah. So I don't know how. Again, we'd have to talk this over. Good reason to have them at a meeting. Looking at the workload for public works, and as you know, we have the transfer station under public works, so the transfer station attendant being right there would make some sense, but there is that question whether you want staff doing that. Would that be more regular, make sure it's done, and then what do you do with the money?
Yeah, really, like then do you, because my way of thinking would be that you would, if you got the lump sum of money, you would divide it up and say between the different the fire department this month, the library next month, recreation, something like divide the money up amongst the different community groups.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that the best solution would be is that, let's say we have two or three teams of people that have volunteered to do this, but when the bin gets full, or is approaching getting full, they get a call that says you need to be here by date X, let's say a week. I don't know. I'm not sure that's enough. But and if you don't, then we're going to get the next group to do it.
And
if they don't, we'll get the next group. Because, again, the financial incentive, not that it's a fortune, but, I mean...
Oh, you'd be surprised.
The last couple of times, maybe the last three times I've been at the transfer station, Andy was quite... animated about it and walk me through inside with all the stuff that's there. And yeah, it's just intolerable to have people that said they're going to do it that just don't, right? So that we just say, without it being threatening, right? Okay, this is your notification. You got a week to come in here and get this done. Has to be done by date X. If it's not, then we're moving on to somebody else, right? And then that organization can decide how they want to do it. I think if we get into how it gets divided, then you got people that are benefiting that don't do the work,
that's
and I don't
right.
think that works either. So,
Councilor Peckin?
So I think previously it was 1 week one group was doing it, the next week, so you never run into a situation where it's piling up week after week, so that if the one group didn't make it the 1 week, then it automatically went into the next group.
True. Yeah, I mean, that can work, and again, I don't know that we really need a contract for this, but I mean, we should should have some guidelines at least that we follow. And I'm fine with that. Anything that just gets the job done.
Yeah.
Right? But if you volunteered to do it, and I gotta think they really are volunteers. I mean, even if the money goes to their organization, it's not like you're gonna retire on it. Then we just move on. We just need to define what that process is. And without being critical of the people who didn't do it, we just simply say, you're right, you passed your date, now it's Mike's team that's doing it, Mike gets it. So, and you know, that's our interest, is in getting it done promptly. And I don't even know if it's an every week thing. I mean, I don't think there's that many.
That way you never run into a situation where the bin is full. You're always proactive, you're one step ahead, so.
And it's not like, oh my God, I gotta go do those bottles, you know, and you're coming out the door.
Exactly.
So like if you're
doing it in manageable amounts.
Sure.
And then as well, when they're bringing it to wherever they're gonna bring it for recycling, then they're not going there with, you know, 10 truckloads. They're going with something that's manageable.
Sure.
I did speak to the public works and superintendent about this, and he kind of reminded me that this isn't a service that we need to provide to the public. They can take their own empties to the beer store and collect the funds. We're doing this more on behalf of the charities. So he was opposed to staff doing it. And if it's unmanageable for other charities, then we just don't collect bottles. That's another option as well. But
well, that's good. Then we don't have to worry about staff. We can just deal with the volunteers.
Yeah, I'm not particularly in favor of asking staff to do this really under any circumstance. But unless they made the money, and I don't know that that's a big enough incentive for them to want to do it anyway, but maybe. But I don't think we should ask our staff to do it. We should simply have a list of groups that have offered to do it, and if the first one doesn't, the second one might. If the second one doesn't, the third one might. Right? But again, we've got to be clear about the expectation is we'll give you, I'm just going to say for now, a week to get it done. I mean, it doesn't have to be a week. It could be whatever is reasonable. But how often, when you were there, Mike, how often did that work get done? I mean, was it a weekly thing? No?
No, it was never set up the way it is right now.
Okay.
Now there's an actual depot for it.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
But I'm just, with anything, you always want to do it in bite-sized
of course.
Portions.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely weekly. Summer, because it's summertime.
Sure.
Wintertime, maybe it's once a month.
Yeah.
But summertime, absolutely, you want to be one step ahead. You don't want to be, like I said, where you're bringing 10 truckloads. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, would there be a question of which weeks they get? Are there certain times when it would be fuller than others? Or are they just out of rotation?
You'd like it to be after a holiday weekend in the summer, right? So, yeah.
Well, I think you see how many groups are interested and then work from there.
And then get their input, like how they see the scheduling, what they would expect it to work, I don't know, how they would like to. Maybe they only want to do it a couple of times in the summer and then let the other group do it
the
rest of the summer.
Were we ever successful at getting the proceeds from the bottles and cans coming to charities in McKellar? Other than if the charity itself was doing the work of managing the pile.
When it first started, wasn't it the fire chief that was?
Rick Lee.
Yeah, Rick Lee was doing it. And he would, 1 month he would give, or whenever he got a lump sum, he'd give it to a certain group in McKellar, and the next month maybe to another group, and you know.
I mean, that's nice.
Like he was doing it himself, wasn't he?
He was. He had one of those can crushers.
Yeah, and he'd crush the cans.
All
and
by hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he'd get a sum of money, then he would do a donation to different groups in McKellar.
Which is good if we can do it, but if there is no incentive for people to do it if they're not interested in the money for themselves, I'll just say, then maybe we don't get the volunteers to do it anyway, right? But
well, put it out there, you never
know. I would be happiest if the money made its way into McKellar charities or community organizations, for sure, but if that becomes a stumbling block for a group to say, yeah, we'll do it, well then.
It seems to me one time the Lions was asking me questions about it. Did they ever approach it?
No, but I'm gonna send them a message.
Yeah, because it seems like the library one time they were asking me about, you know, how that worked.
With Whispering River Orchestra, they have hosted events in McKellar, and even when they're hosting events outside of McKellar, they would have a list of sponsors, and they would have McKellar listed as one of the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I want to open this up to the public too, so
yeah.
I've been good enough to hang around here. Any comments or questions?
I can just tell you I'm the secretary.
I'm not sure if anybody online can hear.
Sure.
Sorry.
Peter Duffy again. I am the secretary of the Dynamic Snowriders. We had a meeting last night. Just as a matter of background, our monthly meetings, we get 20, 30 people at every one. It's a very enthusiastic club who is very, very enthusiastic about doing this. We had at least 12 volunteers immediately put their hand up and say, we're in. We discussed we would do it once a week in the summer, probably once every 2 or 3 weeks in the winter, and make sure that it was going to get done. And it would, yeah, we're called Dynamic, but we're all the trails in McKellar. It is a McKellar organization. For us, I know the Lions don't want it. Barry was there last night. He actually volunteered to help us get the ball rolling where it needs to go because they do another one.
Okay.
So they don't want another one, but please feel free to ask them. It would be easier for us because we would just schedule something. We've got all the volunteers ready to go. We just say, this week. If we're waiting for phone calls, that might get a little more complicated for us. But we would love the opportunity to do it. Understand you have to have put it in for other groups to apply, but ask for proposals. What are you going to do to make sure this gets done? Because right now that it's overflowing. There's bottles all over the place at the transfer station. I guarantee you that will not happen with us. Ask for the proposals for people to give you too.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
But we don't want to get married. All right.
And with that.
Oh, come on.
I've been following the Jays game, so I gotta get
oh,
well,
yeah.
This is better than the Jays.
Have a great night, folks.
Okay.
Bye. Do you want to rework? Maybe you've got that invite expressions of interest. I think that's a proposal, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then it'll just say you need to compose how you're going to maintain
right.
it.
That sounds good.
Good.
All the questions, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Year 21.1. Resolution 25-438, moved by Councillor Keckin, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-53. A bylaw to define the procurement of goods and services policies and procedures for the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, a first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council the 7th day of October 2025. Discussion? There are a few changes. That's good. You certainly listened to what council had said. And that one figure of 50,000 down to 30,000 now, which I think is more manageable. I still had some questions over the amounts, and I guess because they're increasing, and maybe it's too much work for staff to do this, but I'd like some examples of where that amount would have been useful to have the ability to just go ahead without coming back to council, just to spend it, and whether they had to get one or two bids, or however many they could get. Just examples where that figure is too low, and where it ran into some problems, why they couldn't purchase the material they needed right away. I think that would be useful, because as you say, things change, things get more expensive. I just don't want a situation where spending is taking place, and I've used other groups that do this, without the surveillance, I guess, or of council to knowing what's going on, because we're the ones that are asked the questions, and it's always good to have some answers rather than just say, well, go to the office spend up to $200,000 without coming back to the board. And I know it's an expensive project they're undertaking, but to me, that's taxpayer money there too, even though it's a grant for a large amount that's still coming from the taxpayer. And I just thought that that was pretty large. So I'd be interested to know what council is okay with these figures that they've adjusted now and whether you're comfortable with those, because everything else seems to have been changed. The questions that we brought up before. And I guess the other thing to just have explained, the highlighted sections, why they were highlighted, were those the changes that were suggested, or were they just...
No, that's highlighted sections are where changes were made. I was just trying to clean up the document a bit more from the last edit, so instead of tracking changes, I just highlighted.
Yep. The one question I had, I just give you the section. It's 5.12, and I think I mentioned this before, about the 5-year ban sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is if it's a contractor that's the only one available, even though, you know, we ran into problems in 1 year with them, if you ban them for 5 years, are we going to get any product? I'm thinking of winter sand in particular, because of the sand that we get, there aren't many companies that produce that.
Right, so the section reads, at the discretion of council, the municipality may impose
right.
a ban for a period up to 5 years. So the council could impose a ban for a year or 6 months or 3 months, not to say that 5 years is the
right.
the amount you have to ban someone. You could choose for 3 months even if they were like a sole source supplier.
Okay. Oh, well, you're right. The wording is allows you to do that.
Yeah.
Under 7.01, I see it's 20,000. What was it, 15 before? Or I'm trying to think of what it was before.
Yeah, I believe it's gone up a $5,000 increment.
Okay. And I'm still a little confused with this electronic. As I look here at 8052. Well, first of all, maybe go back up to 8042. It says quotation shall be reviewed and the results tabulated to determine the award of the contract. Should it say by whom? Now, maybe it's department head.
Yeah, that would be staff. It'd likely be the department head or myself.
Right. Okay. In 8052. Purchases up to 30,000, I guess, or 29,999, do not require formal advertising of the receipt of sealed bids. Quotation shall review the results tabulated. Okay, question by them. 30,000, and they don't require advertising or sealed bids. I just want to get council's opinion on that, spending that kind of money.
You said it's 8052?
Right.
So example, like that Dog Lake culvert, it was nearing $20,000, so staff would just have to get formal quotations instead of putting a sole culvert to tender.
Right. Do we get to see, I think he does, but the actual quotations that he received?
Yes, like council can at any time request quotations from staff. We're not always showing them, I guess, but we do collect them and save them in the files. So at any time you're questioning what the other prices were, you can contact myself or the department head.
So it used to be, now that's going way back. Now that's through a tender, I guess, or a bid. The actual prices would be listed in the resolution
funding form is included in the package, so you see all that bid, the prices, and then the resolution only has the award.
Right. So, okay, go ahead, Councilor Ryan.
I know you've explained this before, but I don't recall. Tell me how you manage emails so that, you know, somebody can't open it earlier than the date.
So that is a policy that we're going to have to review and research. So with the passing of this bylaw, we will not be implementing electronic forms immediately, just because we don't have the means currently. Once this is passed, I'll further investigate how we're going to coordinate that system.
Do they get submitted to an email address other than, well, yours or other people's that are, that we know, other like standard ones, in other words?
No, so like currently now, if we're requesting formal quotations, we ask via email, and then it's sent to either myself or the department head requesting it.
But we could create a unique one if,
yes,
if that was, even
but
then though, I don't know how we would know that somebody didn't surreptitiously go in and open them and feed that information to a competitor, right? But
yeah, in the event of formal quotations, I think it's fine that it still goes to that specific staff member. But if we are doing a tender that's sealed, more or less, but it's an electronic one, we would have it sent to a tenders@mckellar.ca, and that will be controlled and only opened by one person.
Sure.
And that would be open at the tender date?
Correct.
The date,
yes,
the closing?
Yes.
And it couldn't be opened prior?
No.
And Near North could probably provide some assistance this way? I would
likely, yes. I'll just need to investigate further.
Okay. Thank you.
See, that's the difficult one to get your head around. It's 806. Let's see here. First of all, says sealed tenders with public opening shall be required. And then in L, tenders shall be received and opened in a secure and controlled environment that shall not be opened in a public forum.
Okay, that's contradicting.
Now, maybe the initial stage is it's not a public forum, and when the actual time closes, the tenders close, then maybe it becomes a public forum. So maybe there's a...
Each time we have a public... or each time there is a tender closing, there is a public opening.
Right.
Even if no one shows up, staff ensure that they're in a public place doing the opening. And sometimes if it's a small one and only one person's bid, we just do it in the office, but our door is wide open. And we tell the administrative assistant, if someone's coming to sit in this tender opening, let us know, because we're doing it publicly. We typically have them in the council chambers, but the odd time we will have them in the office with the door open.
So, just back to 808.05, you were mentioning the Dog Lake culverts. So, for the procurement of goods and services or construction having a contract value of $20,001 or more, and the Dog Lake culvert, the entire everything was $25,000 or something?
Yeah, I can't remember.
But so, the question is this. So, it's 8.052, at least three quotations shall be solicited in writing, provided that the proposed purchase comes within the approved budget appropriations.
Yes, so Dog Lake was brought before council because that wasn't an approved budget item. That was an expense that was incurred, well, to be incurred during the year, so the public works superintendent came to council asking for that purchase in this year. So if there is a budget item within that range that's been approved in the budget, we won't be coming to council with a report. But if there's something that comes up in the middle of the year that is within that range for formal quotation, staff will be providing a report to council to say that this expenditure has come up in this budgeting year, it wasn't approved, and seeking council approval.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I was trying to see where that scenario fit in elsewhere in here. I could just, anyways, thank you. That's,
might explain my next question. I think I mentioned it before in section 806L, the first paragraph. It says, a summary of the tenders received may be included in a subsequent report to the council.
That one would be shall because it's a tender.
Right.
That would be included.
Okay. And everybody's okay with 8-11, emergency 25,000?
And again, even the event of emergency, staff will come to council with a report or at least a motion to say that they're having an emergency expenditure in the approval. I can't recall a situation where we wouldn't be able to have a council meeting to have the expenditure approved, but emergency purchases would still come before council for approval.
But I think it should still say, and mayor, clerk administrator and mayor, or clerk administrator and or treasurer and mayor. Because you never know, in the event you can't get a hold of all of council or whatever, right?
Right.
The mayor should know. Because I think in the past, things like that happened, where it was just the clerk administrator.
Yeah, and I don't think there was even a report going to come to council regarding it.
Mm. Get council opinion on 10-08. Minimum holdback 10% should be mandatory in all contracts exceeding 75,000. Should that be lower, or is you reach that threshold first before you hold back 10%?
How did you arrive at the 10%?
I think it was in the previous bylaw.
Used to be 15,000.
Oh, okay. I don't remember where that one came from.
Used to be what, Dave?
15,000.
15,000.
It just seemed like quite a jump, that's why.
That might be from the Construction Act.
The Construction Lien Act.
Be a good place to check, because the Construction Act is mentioned in the next couple of clauses, but not in that one. Then the 1009 numbering, we've got two twos.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing major, so the two second two should be a three, that's all. And also on 1502, second page there too, it talks about clerk administrator, department head, treasurer, and the solicitor may prohibit an unsatisfactory supplier from bidding on future contracts. Is council okay with that, that we're giving it over to staff and a solicitor to decide whether that person can bid on future contracts?
So how did the solicitor get in there? Was there a reason?
I don't remember, but I recommend taking that food.
Yeah.
Yeah, they may not offer an opinion anyway.
Yeah.
1703, just the way it's worded, I think it makes sense, but from CANU or LAS, they shall submit a report to council. Council will then pass a resolution. There's no guarantee of that. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Deliberate or something? eventually it would pass if they do authorize it.
You could change will to may.
Yeah.
May pass or
may then pass a resolution.
Which is a really small change.
That's
the same number of more letters, yeah. No, it's not, sorry. It's one more letter, but
this other is fairly simple, just with numbering. We go from 20 to 22. So that's gonna affect all the future numbers.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar with leasing 2201A. 120,000? I don't know where that came from either. That seems like a high figure to anything under that, then wouldn't need the approval, I guess, but
and any leasing agreement the treasurer would bring forward before
okay.
signing a lease agreement. And then would also say that leasing is more financially feasible than owning or
right.
financing.
Yeah, that'd be good to know. And the bylaw review, you've got every 5 years. Just a question to put out there, should it be within a term of council that it be reviewed? Maybe at the beginning and at the end or something? Or your fifth year, of course, that's a new council coming in. Is it good for a new council to review it for the first year? Maybe that's the idea behind it. Or should an outgoing council review it? But then you're subjecting the next
yeah,
council.
Yeah, then they might change it, not
yeah.
like it, right?
So 5 years, okay.
Well, if you read 2102, you shall determine how effective the procurement bylaw has been. Then pretty much it's going to have to be people that were there.
Right.
I mean, so it would be the old council that would review it, although then you're sticking the new council with whatever you think. But
yeah, I don't know, because even
damned if you do, damned if you don't, I think. But
any council can change at any time.
I know, but I just. You know, the fact that this is here, I mean, if you're going to review how effective it is, I mean, it would have to be, I think, people that were at least present for those the discussions, therefore it would have to be the old council, if you're going to call it anything, but
you have to do
the outgoing council, whatever words you want to use that way, but
you have to do it every 3 years then.
Yeah, I know. I know. And it gets muddy.
The question is the number of readings here. I'll put this over to Carly, whether it should be 3 readings tonight then, or do you need 2 and then?
I would be okay with 3 because I feel that the changes are fairly minimal and I can make those prior to the mayor signing the bylaw. We would like this passed sooner rather than later because we are working on a grant application for 4 playgrounds within the township. And we've been speaking to our neighboring municipalities and they've used Canoe and they've got up to a 23% discount on their play equipment. So we'll be proposing a recommendation to council to use Canoe for our procurement of playground equipment in 2026. So we are hoping to get signed on with them and working with them so that we can provide you with a report.
How is that very sound what they went through recently? Or?
McDougal.
And are they happy with what they got? I looked at Prairie Sound, so I'd like to hear something from Prairie Sound. Are they happy with the product? The pictures don't always tell the whole story, but you have to go to the public, I guess. But I want to make sure that what you're getting through Canoe, even though it's at a discount, is the product that you want.
Yes, so Canoe has multiple play equipment vendors. So we just get the Canoe pricing from each of the vendors, and then we select what vendor we would be going with. Depending on the equipment type we're after, the quality, and price and delivery.
Okay, so they don't choose the vendor?
No,
okay.
No, we choose the vendor. We just get the Canoe preferred pricing from each individual vendor.
Mm.
Okay.
Can I ask a question about Section 21 again then, Carly? I mean, you know, regardless of the term that's picked to ensure that it still meets the municipality's needs, what practical means do you have to make sure that if we do that, that somebody actually checks on the 5-year date or thereabouts on this. In other words, do you have, I can describe a bunch of things I had in the bank in terms of how we did this, but do you have a means of doing this?
I need to start a sheet because a lot of these bylaws say to review every 5 years or whatnot. So once a new bylaw is passed, I need to create a sheet to say, okay, the procurement bylaw is passed in October of 2025. We need to review it in October of 2030.
Mm.
So it'll just be on me to make a sheet.
I mean, there is lots of software tools that do similar things too, but it's just, yeah, I mean, that's what popped into my head was how would I do this? And when I was working, especially in branches without automation and everything else, we had a system called a bring forward system, BF system, and you literally had a file folder for each day of the month, and then you had a file folder for each month so that on any given time you moved them into the different slots, and you simply opened today's folder and said, oh yeah, I've got to do the procurement bylaw, or you know, you wouldn't wait till the last day, but you understand, and that's extremely low tech, but it worked.
Yeah, I have an annual sheet of things that I need to do each month for the entire year, so I would just incorporate it into that.
Because in Google, and I don't know what you use from Google, they have a program called Tasks, T-A-S-K-S, that is exactly that, and it just stays there forever until you actually go in and change it, right? So you would establish things like that, just put them there, and you can put in as much or basically as little as you want, but it works extremely well. And I use it for things that I need to do at home so that I don't just forget about it. And it's a nagging thing, but it works. I do then go get it done. So,
And nobody else can access your list to add to the to-do list?
Well, I've never told her I have one.
Oh.
So. But you're right. You wouldn't want things just dumped in there. So I would know that I didn't put it there. I know that. So
I read somewhere that some people don't want to call it procurement, they want to call it investment, because that's really what you're doing. It's a long-term investment in goods and services sort of thing.
Mm.
But I guess legislation still calls it procurement.
Mark Carney would call it an investment.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I heard. Any further discussion on this? After three readings. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Thank you for the immense amount of work that you had and time you had to put into this. You know, it matters.
We got unfinished business. Anything from that list? That was quick.
The street sign for North Point Road is missing.
Okay.
So, and just wondering where that's at. You mentioned that it's approximately a month ago.
I think that slipped my mind, so I will get the Public Works Superintendent to order.
Maybe just add it to this list so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Speaking of which, I guess the question is too, how long do we leave that sign up on Swan Boulevard? That was mentioned over a year ago. The formerly sign is still there, so nobody's objected to it that I know of, but maybe they will.
I know for the fire routes, when they were renamed, we sent a letter to the residents saying that the old fire route number would remain for 18 months.
Yeah, this was an actual squalid route.
Yeah, so that one's been up longer than the fire route one, so if council's agreeable, I can ask Public Works to take it down.
I would think by now it should be.
Yeah.
And the other one we questioned because we didn't want to set the precedent on Middle River Road, or whatever drive, I guess, on top of the hill there. It's a private industry, put it on top of a township sign, and I'm not sure we want to start that. I think even with the one on Brownlee Road, it's a separate arrow signs. I don't think it's on any township as such. Although a township may have made them. I don't know how that works. But the one that stands out is that one on the River Drive. And I don't think it's a problem. I'd rather, you know, have another sign go up. But it's just that I'm see that, then they'll use the township sign. Now, even now, they try it, I guess, for real estate signs, and then once in a while, they'll throw it on something that the township owns. They can't put it, apparently, on a hydro pole or other things. They can't put it on a bridge, according to our sign bylaw. They're not supposed to put it on township property, but sometimes do.
I think that's actually, isn't that addressed in our sign bylaw? Because it talks about fingerboard signs, and then, so that would be one of those signs.
Well, this one's not a fingerboard, it's an actual rectangle. That's, I don't think it even points necessarily, does it?
I don't know, it seems to me it's just like Middle River Drive, a sign like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, just like that, just above it.
Yeah, so that would be the fingerboard sign because it's pointing on the, it has a point on the end.
I think it's just
there.
A green sign, just like it says Middle River Drive, and then there's a green sign that says.
It should be a white sign.
And on a separate sign.
Yeah.
On a separate pole.
I have noticed on Herdville Road, because of the extra fill, in other words, the road height is considerably higher than it used to be, that a bunch of signs that were already very low, including the one at the corner of Ted Donnelly, whatever it's called, Road Boulevard, whatever it is, at Herdville, which was already low because somebody stuck it in the ditch, and the ditch was down quite a ways, and now the road is that much higher. Honestly, if you get a decent snowfall, the whole stop sign is just invisible. Right, it'll be buried in the snow. It was last year, and now this year the road's arguably in some spots 2 feet higher than it was. So I mean, somebody needs to go out and look at all the road signs that we have there and make sure that they're visible in the winter when there's a lot of snow. The good news is I hope that doesn't happen soon, but still.
Yeah, right.
Seems to me there's a stop sign somewhere that's like a bit this high.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it is, but every time I come up to it, I think, oh.
No, that is important because
yeah.
regulation,
yeah.
legislation, I mean,
yeah.
you have to have a certain area, a certain size, a certain shape, all of these things. So if it went to a court, you know,
yeah.
you have to make sure that it's legal.
If you want, Carly, the next time I go by, I can stop and take pictures of where I notice that they're wrong and then
sure.
pass
that
along to Tom or to you. Which would you prefer?
It doesn't really much matter, but I'll mention to him tomorrow
okay.
anyway.
Just that I think, like I said, a couple of spots that I stopped for, we have some friends that live on Herdville, and honestly, their driveway now comes out and goes up. And I mean, they did a good grading job on all of it, but it's when you stand there looking and go, holy mackerel, this road is a lot higher than it was, right? And they excavated the ditches and they put in all the culverts and all that stuff, but it's really quite remarkable how low things like signs look, right?
But I think that's legislated that they're supposed to be checked annually. So,
yeah.
you know, like that's part of the responsibilities that need to be fulfilled.
New business. I see gymnasium outdoor arena floor replacement, but I don't see a resolution to it.
Councillor Haskin asked for this item to be on the agenda. He didn't propose a motion. But I do have a bit of background now. In terms of the arena floor, Bob Hughes went to look at it. He hasn't provided us with an opinion yet. In the event that the floor doesn't need to be repaired because of structural problems, like it's more just aesthetics that there's cracks in the floor, I have researched a company that will do pickleball courts. So they're a big rollout mat that would cover the arena floor once the ice comes out. It would take Public Works half a day to install, and then it's up for the season, and then they would take it out again when the ice is to go in. I had it quoted, so it would be $35,000 for these mats, and it would provide 4 pickleball courts within the arena. So that covers the surface in the summer, so it's more aesthetically pleasing, but it also provides the pickleball players with actual regulation size courts. The treasurer and I have been looking at grants to apply for to cover the cost of this expenditure if it's approved, but it's just something that we've been looking into. I'm going to get a sample of the floor delivered, so council can review it as well as the pickleball players to ensure that they would be happy with the product before we make this big purchase.
So what about like kids with how would that be, like with remote cars or roller blades or anything else?
So that's the
basketball
thing. The only purpose for the summer months with these mats down would be for pickleball. I don't think we could play basketball on them just because the way the ball would bounce on the surface. I don't think
that would, because I see a lot of kids going up the street with their basketball going here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, the kids with their remote control cars and that in there. And
roller skating. Like,
yeah.
Roller,
roller
blades
and
okay.
stuff. If it's not compatible, then
mm-hmm.
you have to be sort of for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Bob Hughes is going to look at the
yeah.
floor anyway, because it may not be as simple as just putting a coating on the floor. We may actually have to excavate it up and redo the concrete again, which we don't want that to be the,
no,
the case, but...
Yeah, because there's something special underneath it in case you want to put a winter...
Refrigeration.
Yeah, refrigeration.
Well, he said if we want to go the refrigeration route, we would have to excavate it, or we would have to build it up higher and then lift the roof because it needs insulation. So that's a huge expense.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a new... what do they call them? A new thing for to put ice... You know, the refrigeration
yeah, like
unit, there's something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's not as expensive as the what you would have to do before.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he still said for this, you would have to either excavate or build on top of the existing surface
mm-hmm.
and then lift everything up.
Mm.
And then sticking to the arena, we have secured a vendor for the glass because there's been panes broken for a while
mm-hmm.
now. So we have... yet to receive a quote, but we'll will shortly. And the arena glass is very expensive, but we're going to see if that fits into the budget. And then if not, we'll get it in January. And then the gymnasium floor, I received quotes for that. So this is a surface that would lay on top of the existing floor. I noted that our community center is very well used with tables and chairs being set up all of the time, and then also sports being played in there. The initial quote I got was $50,000, but I'm going to look at some other alternatives as well, because this was just a floating floor that, like, it is permanent, but it's a floating floor that clicks together. But there may be some alternative solutions, like just kind of replacing what's there currently. So we're looking into that a bit further.
Ice plant, that's what I was thinking of.
And my question to council on the arena floor, or on the community center floor, is what kind of flooring you would like to see in it. I will bring samples eventually, but I didn't know if you're wanting to stick with what's kind of currently there, a different color, different texture, if you want a wood floor, a floor with a sports court on it, like pickleball lines. Does it have to be plain? Like, I'm kind of just wanting to gauge what council's wanting to do with that floor.
Is there lines on it now?
Yes, it's shuffleboard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then volleyball.
Think so?
It used to be volleyball, and then they stopped doing it.
Badminton?
Never did put basketball. Badminton, yes.
Yeah, badminton.
But we looked at the one at Point of Arrow, if you recall, it's going back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
one of our meetings there. And I guess, yeah, you were right what Morgan was saying. I think it was a larger square that they had than what we had,
mm-hmm.
and people were seemed to be happy with that. So.
It was really nice.
So it wouldn't curl up as much. But that's good, you're investigating all of these.
Oh, mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
I have a motion I'll just put out here, whether it be signed or not, with Fox Farm Road. I'm getting a little, impatient, I guess, on reports that are not coming and what we've done in the past with our Schedule A on the winter maintained roads. And I would think people on those roads need answers soon to get contractors, and my worry is that the insurance company will take whatever time they need, I guess, whatever that might be, and are we going to get any different answers than what we've had already for what we've been doing? So Carly's got a response for me.
I will say I received it today, so we'll be on the October 21st meeting.
Okay. I guess the question I have, and maybe I don't think you've had a chance to review it, switched to intact, but and it's been nothing said. I just don't want a repeat of what the previous council went through with Lake Shore Beaumont, with the report that never did surface, the summary that surfaced. And I'm just thinking we've looked at the site, and I think it's feasible. Not only, not right necessarily right at Watkins Lane, but even going to the top of the hill, there's enough place to turn, but if other people have looked at it, just let me know and what you think.
Would you like me to read the paragraph that the insurance company provided?
Sure.
Okay.
Would be good.
Township staff noted that there was a request to extend winter maintenance further down Fox Farm Road to Watkins Lane. One significant concern with this proposal is that there is a very steep drop on Fox Farm Road immediately south of Watkins Lane, which severely restricts the sight distance for motorists in this location. For example, if a snowplow was maneuvering to turn around at the Fox Farm Road and Watkins Lane, a northbound motorist crossing the hill may not see the snowplow sufficiently soon enough to slow down or stop to avoid a collision. Due to the sight distance restrictions here, the township may want to consider requiring northbound vehicles to stop at Watkins Lane to prevent potential collisions.
Well, I'm thinking with the concerns, as I said, that's the general vicinity for Watkins Lane. I think you could even go to the top of the hill and do your turn there and just make sure that they don't drive over the hill, which is still possible because you can still climb up that hill, but you just don't want to. I think you have full sight advantage there. My only concern would be I'm not sure of the width of Fox Farm Road, but I know a lot of repairs are put into it over the years, and our previous resolution never did specify that that's a summer maintained road, and yet it's been plowed from Lakeshore into, what's the number, 6?
Yeah.
Wherever he lives. And it's been plowed there from Lakeshore to that spot on a summer maintained road. And my argument would be that we carry it down to the top of the hill. I mean, we're not suggesting that it go any further because that is a difficult hill, and short of actually reducing the slope of that hill, and I'm not sure township wants to put that kind of money into that road that's not used by a lot of traffic. I think that'd be a good place to turn to actually have full sight advantage. But anyway, and from what I'm hearing from the insurance company, it's just what we've heard, so I don't think that's making a difference. I'd be interested to know what the solicitor has told us about continuing this program. And I haven't seen that yet.
Do you want me to speak to that?
Sure.
So she said that we have no obligation to continue in winter maintenance on township owned unassumed roads.
So the resolution would hold up good.
Yes.
Because that was.
And the insurance company is stating that by undertaking winter maintenance on unassumed roads that are not up to township standard, the township may be exposing itself to potential risks and liabilities. So both the insurance company and the solicitor are echoing that we should not be maintaining these roads.
Maintaining them?
Winter maintaining them, yes.
Okay. So.
We know the liability is there, exists. As we've been told, the township can be sued on any municipal property. I guess the question is, are you increasing the opportunity or the expectation that you would be sued for something that happens on one of those roads? It's been operating, as I said, for 15 years on the roads we had been maintaining. I haven't seen any, now not to say there can't be, but there haven't been any court cases that I know of. We've had others on regularly maintained roads where there have been potholes and people have put in claims for something that's happened to the vehicle. But I don't recall any on these particular roads. There may have been. But, yes.
So, if something did happen, are we covered with insurance regardless?
Well, yeah, it's municipal property.
Yeah,
so
we're still
yes.
covered. They're
right.
just giving their opinion. Is there, would it make sense maybe to put on... add on to that motion for a for this year for a trial, or does it?
Well, it does say that. If you look at the Schedule A, it says.
Oh yeah, in the schedule, but on
for the 2025-26 season only, and it'll
Okay.
The motion, I think, says reviewed in the spring, if it's still, if I recall it.
Yeah, I know
so
it
yeah,
says
it's for 1 year only. And the concern we had before is that it's not being reviewed in the spring. That's the concern, so.
Okay.
I think the biggest risk would be a catastrophic loss, like involving some deaths or whatever, and or the snowplow running into a vehicle and running off the road, those kind of things. God forbid that happens, but I've believe it or not, ridden my bicycle up that hill.
You pushed it up. You didn't ride it up.
Well, it's an e-bike too, so I mean,
oh, okay.
I did, but I mean, it damn near killed me even then. And yeah, it would scare me to plow or try to remove the snow from the road at all. I mean, and I do that on my own property, but I mean, it's that would be the last place on earth I ever wanted to do it. So,
well, as a comparison, before we had changed the Veterans Bridge, it was Middle River Bridge. And that was single lane.
Mm-hmm.
And the plow used to go down there, even in icy conditions. And of course, the sand is coming out of the back. So they're going on straight ice. And one of the public works attendants or workers there just said, I want to take you for a ride to see what this is like. And of course, we were pushing to get the two lane anyway. And it was frightening going down that hill, sliding. And the only way they could have done it, I guess, would have taken more time to back down. But even then, you're not sure what you're seeing, what you're approaching.
And do you really want to be looking over here
well, no.
trying to figure out if you're on the bridge?
Yeah.
Right?
But that would be a challenge, yeah.
But Tate's Island over the causeway, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's...
They've gone off.
Yeah.
So I did go take a look at that stretch of road, and yes, the turnaround would have to be on the, I guess it would be the north side, like this, before you get to the top of Watkins Lane. Once you go down that hill, because I went down to the bottom of the hill and turned around at the bottom, and getting a dead start to get up that hill,
you need an e-bike.
So yeah, the turnaround would have to be at or before Watkins Lane, and for anyone coming from the Fox Farm Road extension, they're on a higher ground, so they can see any vehicles, like if there's a plow truck plowing at Watkins Lane, so they have a visual of the Watkins Lane area when they're at the top of that section of road.
And they have the flashing lights and everything, so I'm sure you'd see it, right, the truck.
Yeah. And those are low-speed roadways anyways. All of these Schedule A roads, I believe, are low-speed roads, like...
20 kilometers.
Yeah, most people are driving 20 kilometers.
Not that anybody seems to know that, but I know that. It's in the road speed study,
yeah,
that's how I
but,
know that.
You know, you're try
yeah.
driving 60 kilometers an
yeah.
hour on some of these roads.
I don't.
My concern with this was the timing and to help those people in there. Who, and as they've said too, it's a policy that we set 15 years ago, and we've been following that. And I don't think we've taken any roads off that list, except for the ones that
yes.
the township has now assumed.
Yeah.
But I think we've been doing that. There's a bit of a question, of course. West Road, but I think people still live in there year-round. We would have to have that confirmed, and I think that's false to Carly, I guess. Because if we're in a situation where there's nobody living in there, that's a little different, and I'm not sure we'd have to keep it maintained over the winter. Anyway, it's Resolution 25-440, and it's under New Business. It's moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar carried resolution number 25-388 at a regular meeting of Council held on September the 2nd, 2025, wherein the municipality owned roads to be winter maintained by the Township of McKellar for the winter season of 2025/26 only were listed in Schedule A. Therefore, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar hereby amend resolution 25-388. With the addition of Fox Farm Road from the year-round maintained road, Lakeshore Road, to the the intersection with Watkins Lane on a summer maintained road. Further discussion?
You already said it went to a certain area.
Yeah.
No.
What I'm suggesting is, and it'll be up to the Public Works Superintendent to confirm this, but that it might not be right at the intersection.
Okay.
It might be better to go a bit further.
Okay.
And push off to the east side, the left side.
I'm wondering, so the Schedule A, the wording of it,
there's a resolution and then there's Schedule A listing the roads?
Yes, so the resolution prior to the Schedule A list of roads, it has a few different conditions
right.
within it.
Right.
You know, that there's an adequate turnaround.
Right.
So so this here would be conditional, that there's an adequate turnaround?
Yes, and what I'm saying is that looking at the roads that we're doing now, and there's a concern whether they're adequate turnarounds, but they're still being done. And so that's the criteria, you're right. But is it being enforced? I don't know. And they talk about fair runs. So
I'm just wondering, though, that for all those roads prior to those roads being plowed that first winter, there was an attempt to establish a turnaround.
Right.
So my point is that Public Works would have to install an adequate turnaround prior to the winter plowing season so
they
that it meets the conditions of...
They could look at an area. I don't think there's an adequate turnaround meeting the criteria where it's turning around now. They're using somebody's driveway. So I think they'd have to look at it certainly and see what they could do to make the best of the situation that exists. What we tried to do in some of the others, we're still turning in driveways, is to actually have land transferred, sold to the township for the turnaround, these people who wanted it. And that never panned out in some cases. And we still did the plowing, making the best of the situation. So what I'd like to find out too, and I'll be asking maybe the Public Works Superintendent to have some description, I guess, of what's taking place now, on which roads, which ones are being plowed, where the turnarounds are. We haven't got any of that yet. I know we were waiting for insurance company and solicitor, but even from Public Works, it would be good to know. I had pictures of from years and years back where the roads were being done and where they were plowed and where they're actually making turnarounds. And I just couldn't forward that. I forwarded a list of roads to Carly, but I had to take the pictures off. It was too big of a file. So I can put those back on and put them on a stick and show you, but they're probably a little dated now. But I'd be interested in knowing as well what's being done. The routes, I've asked for that for some time now, the routes that are being established. I think our Public Works Superintendent was interested in that too. When he came on, he was new to it. And I think he's used generally what he's done before, the way it was set up from years back, which routes are done when, and which equipment's being used on those roads. I think that'd be good for council to know. The only problem you run into, of course, is the public is thinking that, okay, that plow should have been here, you know, 2 hours ago, and it is according to the schedule. There may be reasons why it couldn't be. But I'm thinking that's something that council probably should be aware of, because I think there are going to be exceptions to that resolution even now that are being taken care of with those roads, because some of those lands were never transferred, and there are some tight turns, I think, as Carly could attest to, in some of those areas. And so one of the things they might consider, I think we talked about it, was plowing as far as you can with the bigger vehicles. And that's one reason why we bought a smaller vehicle. It's still a large vehicle to be in there, but so we could actually use similar to what the contractors were using on those roads. And the contractors did those roads with their own equipment. I think it was a 550 that the latest ones use. Mm-hmm. And this vehicle that we have now, I think, is a bit bigger than that. But the other suggestion is, too, of doing what you can with the bigger plows and then maybe taking the half-ton in with the plow to the tight areas and get that done. It's the timing, of course, because it takes quite a few hours, and if you get heavy snowstorms or two in a row, then it's difficult to get the crew out there to do, keep the roads clear. Councilor Kick.
So Fox Farm Road, some of the roads, they aren't the full 66 feet that you're talking about. I think McCord's Road isn't the 66 feet.
Yeah, you'd know better than I. It may not be, you know. And the only one I know of that isn't, we were told by the clerk years ago, is Lakeview in the Craigmore subdivision, that it wasn't the 66 feet. It was more like 50 feet. But I haven't heard about the other ones, but you could be right. And some of them, the Grey Owl Road, for instance, their fence is even with West Road. Used to be, but fences on either side, private property right up to it, so I'm not sure we have the 66 feet in every area.
But Fox Farm Road, that is the 66 foot.
As far as I know,
there
was a lot of work done on it, I know, in the previous.
So that does have room to establish a turnaround.
I'm hoping it does. That's something he can confirm.
If we have the 66 feet, which is
yeah.
probably at least the length of this room here, width-wise, and then you can make it as long as you need along the side of the road, so you've got plenty of room to establish a turnaround there.
Yeah, I would think, and I'm looking for stakes, but it's better to somebody who's familiar with the area and knows where the stakes would be. And I'm thinking we can probably contact a neighbor there who developed Watkins Lane. They must have had to find stakes. So I'm thinking we could probably get that determined.
And the new truck that we purchased this year, I think it's a 550 as well. Is it the smaller truck? Does that have a plow on it?
They're putting a plow on it.
So we have lots of trucks to do the plowing.
Yeah, and there's, I guess, a request for the 2026 budget for two half tons. So whether that goes into the budget or not, I don't know. But,
but that's exactly why they purchased the 550, was to be able to plow these Schedule A roads.
Yeah, and the other thing was too, I think, to have more people in the to be able to go on if you're doing pole patching or something, that it couldn't just be two people, then they could take four people, I think, that with the crew cab, however it's designed.
Yeah.
That was another reason, I think, for getting that other truck, if I recall.
Yeah, I believe that was the primary reason. The
yeah.
2022 Freightliner, that was for the Schedule A roads.
Right, that's right. Yeah, that was the one that was purchased previously, and that was the reason, yeah, and it was a bit smaller.
But originally the 550 that was purchased in 2009 was for...
Oh, originally, yes.
It was for
Schedule
A roads.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seemed to do a good job until it went to contract, yeah.
Yeah, it did a good job for close to 15 years, 12 years anyways.
I've said it before, but I'll say it again, that the snow plowing in McKellar is better than any place I have ever lived in my life, right? In terms of how well it's done and on a timely basis and everything else. And my son, who lives in a built-up subdivision in Barrie, has possibly the worst snow plowing I've ever seen in my life, where they don't do it for weeks. Anyhow, so here is night and day difference. So, and I frequently, when I'm out plowing my driveway, periodically, at least, see the snowplow coming in and out. And they're usually there by, well, last year was a little different, but normally there by 5. The last year was about 6. But I don't think we should hold them to a specific time for a specific spot, just kind of what sequence and what route or whatever is appropriate. So,
and the amount of time that it took me to drive from the corner of Fox Farm and Lake Shore to Watkins Lane was approximately 5 minutes. And that was going at a slow rate of speed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, and reports by council members. Moved by Councilor Trachin, second by Councilor Mazulak. Be resolved, Councilor, the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish pulled from that list? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-54, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open Council the 7th day of October 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-442, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
10:29 p.m.
Meet again on Tuesday, October 21st, 2025, for a regular meeting of Council at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned. Well, I didn't ask for the public any questions.
Nobody.
No.
That's why I love.